So today I'm going to tell you my story with food and how food, for a while there, became an idol.
Welcome to What Laura Likes, the podcast that helps you pursue the narrow path. Here you can find content regarding Catholicism, both for those new to the faith, as well as those of you looking to go deeper. You will also find content on the vocation of marriage, including motherhood and homeschooling. This audio is from my winter 2022 YouTube season. If you'd like to see the video for this and other episode, you can head to my YouTube channel, What Laura Likes. Please be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave a review if it adds value to your life. Also, consider supporting this podcast on Patreon to help it continue. You can find out more about me or contact me by heading to my website, whatlauralikes.com, or following me on Instagram at whatlauralikes18. Enjoy the show.
So it's January. This is the time of year where a lot of people think about food and fitness and new you, near you, new year, new you. I know that diet mentality and disordered eating is rampant right now. I thought it would be a good time to talk about my story because unfortunately for me, at one point, food became a bit of an obsession. Now, there's lots of ways that food can become disordered. For me, it always had to do with health. And before I get into my story, I do want to say I totally believe that food affects our bodies. You are what you eat. In a sense, you know, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, and what we put in them needs to be thoughtfully considered. So I'm not giving people free rein to just eat processed junk food, but food in any way, if it takes over the place that God should be in, it becomes an idol, it becomes a problem. And so for those of us who are health conscious, it can go to an extreme just as easily as somebody who suffers from maybe gluttony or overeating and those kind of issues, emotional eating. So I would say that food for me was not really a thing until 2015 when my husband first deployed. Before then, as a child, I was an extremely picky eater. I'd rather eat chips, you know, maybe a piece of fruit over meat and potatoes. I ate because I had to. I didn't eat because I wanted to. And you could tell I was thin. I was weak. I was unhealthy. I got sick a lot. I used to say if I could just pop a pill and get all my nutrients for the day, I could just not bother with stopping to eat. I'm not a foodie in any sense of the word. So really up until the age of 32, food was kind of there. Sometimes I'd enjoy it. Sometimes I wouldn't. I found fitness, but this is not about fitness. That's a whole other idol topic. But it wasn't until Ryan left and I kind of dove into Beachbody. And again, I don't want to talk really about the fitness side of it, but fitness and diet do a lot of times go hand in hand. And I started drinking Shakeology, which I love and still drink. But this idea of something being really nutritious versus something being causing havoc in your body and inflammation and things like that, it started a spiral. It started an obsession where all of a sudden it was like, oh my gosh, what is in my food? I can't eat that. I can only eat this. And again, something, you know, that God provides for us naturally is going to be more healthy than something grown in a factory. But it became something where I couldn't enjoy going to a party because all I could see was processed food. My friend was making a cheesecake for her husband, and I remember thinking, oh my gosh, are they going to eat that? The first sign of idolatry was when my mother-in-law asked me how my prayer life was because I was dealing with some emotional stuff, Ryan being gone and me being on my own for the first time across the country from my family. And I was like, well, I don't really have time to pray because I'm working out. That also included all the time I spent researching, thinking about, planning my food. And so before I go into the rest of my story, my definition of idolatry when it comes to food is, are you spending more time on your food than you are with God and on your spiritual life and on your journey to sainthood and on your journey to eternity? And that's how we can think about anything in our lives when it comes to idolatry. Is it taking up more space than I'm giving to God? Because God should be first. Okay, back to my story. So 2015, I don't even remember what I was eating. I just remember what I wasn't eating. I wasn't eating anything out of a box. I wasn't eating a whole lot. I was mainly eating Shakeology, drinking Shakeology, and adding in a few bits and pieces there. Ryan comes home. I kind of drop it all. I let it go a little bit. I realized it got too thin, and I just started eating whatever. Well, come back from a vacation, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go on a sugar and bread fast, because those are things I'm told are problems. So then I start researching sugar, and trust me, if you want to become obsessed with food, start researching all the terrible things that sugar does to your body, because it wreaks havoc, and you can go down a spiral there. Same with gluten, especially with all the celiac stuff out now, and just bread is like a bad word. So then I'm like, well, you know what? I just discovered paleo, and I'm pretty much already eating paleo, so I'm just gonna go paleo. But you can't go paleo without completely wiping out your cupboard. So I joined Thrive Market, and I bought all the things, and I threw all the other stuff out. I wasted thousands of dollars trying to replace all the things. Again, spending way too much time trying to figure out what food I'm gonna put in my body, in my family's body, in order for us to live our lives here and to do God's will, which I wasn't tracking. I was just thinking, I pretty much turned my body, my food into idols, and I was like, this is what's important, right? All for in the name of health. I wanna be healthy for my kids, I wanna be healthy for me, I wanna feel good in my body, all the things. I can't remember how long paleo lasted, but then we moved to my mother-in-law's house. By this point, I was relaxed again, back to the standard American diet, which the diet world likes to call the SAD diet. Gotta love that. That really helps you internalize all this disorder. So then I started developing like IBS and SIBO because, I don't know, I just did. So then I was listening to talks about low FODMAPs. And so I'm like, well, what's a FODMAP? And I found that this diet called the low FODMAP diet for those who are suffering from SIBO. Again, in the name of health, and again, it does work, but it's incredibly restrictive. It's not meant to be done long-term. And I would never suggest doing any of these plans without being under the care of a dietitian, because once we start playing these games, it can get kind of messy, both mentally, emotionally, spiritually, as well as physically. I had kind of cured myself, but then I also took antibiotics, and those were amazing because they actually worked. Then we moved to Oklahoma. For some reason, don't ask why, oh my gosh, a few days before Christmas, I decided I was going to go keto. I didn't do a whole lot of research. I just jumped into keto. Huge, huge mistake. I am not going to say that keto doesn't have its place in the world of medicine, because if the claims are true, then people with diabetes and people with Alzheimer's and dementia and, you know, that kind of thing, there is a place for it. But again, huge caveat, be under a dietitian or nutritionist care, because you're literally switching from being sugar burning to being fat burning, and you have to replace your electrolytes constantly. And I ended up developing heart palpitations, which scared me so much. And I just finally went back to eating the standard American diet. But again, so much obsession about food, what I was eating, and again, for health. Oh, that's why I did it, because I developed allergies in Oklahoma, and I had an incident where I had an allergic response to shrimp for the first time in my life, and I got really scared. And so out of the place of fear, I started finding, you know, supposedly anti-allergy diets. So again, all these things are so restrictive. All these things require a lot of time, a lot of planning, a lot of forethought, and I'm making food like my number one thing in my life. And really, it shouldn't be that complicated. Once I let go of keto, I started just trying to do like more balanced, clean eating. I found the book Intuitive Eating, which about 90% of that book is amazing. It's old, but it really helps you realize that God has given us a body that's in tune with our needs from the very beginning. And it's only through worldly messages or exposure to diet mentality, or even like I said, like this whole health mentality, that we get sucked into this world of food and diet that we were never meant to be in. There is a part of intuitive eating that goes, to me, too far, because it's not coming from a place of Catholic teaching regarding food in and of itself. And so you have this aspect of gluttony within intuitive eating that we as Catholics know is not proper. So intuitive eating will take it to a place where it's like, you know, you've told yourself you can't have chocolate chip cookies, go eat 20 chocolate chip cookies. When you've been in a diet for a long time and you've been restricting yourself, you will go on these binges because you will be fearful this is the last time you can eat that thing. And there is some real truth to that mentality. But if we sit down and eat the 20 cookies, we're also practicing gluttony. And that is not something, that's a sin, obviously. And it's something that we need to not go there, because food is not going to make us happy. Food is here to nourish us, provide for us. And yes, sometimes it'd be pleasurable, but not in an extent to where we're overeating and we're somehow trying to fill a hole with our food. And that's emotional eating. And that's probably a whole other topic. If you guys want me to do a video on emotional eating, I sure will. That's been a struggle my whole life as well. Only God can fill that hole in our hearts. Food can't. So that's my journey. I would say right now I'm an intuitive eater with an eye on fasting and an eye on temperance. And mostly what has changed is that I no longer really think about food. I don't even really like to meal plan. I will meal plan, but like if I have pizza, I'm just going to eat some pizza and maybe I'll add some broccoli to make it healthful. But there is very little to no thought about the nutritional value of my food other than that most food doesn't come from a package. It's just this balance, letting it go, because ultimately God is in control of my life. God is in control of my health. As long as I'm walking daily with Him and I'm practicing temperance and I'm practicing fasting, like religious fasting, which I'm going to talk about that more when we get closer to Lent, then I know that He's caring for my body. With that, I'd love to pray with you guys. Let's pray an Ave Maria, asking Mother Mary to help us with, you know, our food choices, our relationship with food. I will definitely link the book Intuitive Eating down below, just in case you're curious and needed some help with that. Because I would say that to me has been the biggest help kind of recovering from what I've done to myself mentally and emotionally. Okay. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right, guys, this is a big topic, especially for women. I don't know any woman who hasn't had a moment of dieting or disordered eating or anxiety with food. And so if that's where you've been, I'd love to support each other in the comments. And just know that I'm praying for you. Please pray for me.
Thanks for listening. I hope this episode has blessed you. For more like this, head over to my YouTube channel, What Laura Like. Be sure to subscribe, review this podcast, follow me on Instagram, and visit my website, whatlauralikes.com, for more info about what I do. Until next time, continue to know, love, and serve God. Pax Christi.